Today's learning should be a zechos lefu shalema for Peril Yenta Bas Brinda. Pashas Vayechi closes, as does the entire Sefer Bereishis, as does really a major chapter in Jewish history, which again we'll get into this week's Emes Hashem and the following weeks, discussing the galus and the oppression and what we're too familiar with, sadly enough, about being oppressed from the outside world, from the nations around us trying to bring us down. But Pashas Vayechi, when the Torah does close, there are some very important messages that are relevant for our lives in the closing of Sefer Bereishis. Firstly, we find in the opening pasuk of Parshas Vayechi, it says, Vayechi Yaakov beres Mitzrayim. Yaakov lived in the land of Mitzrayim for 17 years. So we know the number 17 is funny because it finds its place in the storyline earlier in Sefer Bereishis. That was the amount of time that Yosef learned by his father Yaakov before being sold, the same number 17. And the Baal HaTurim quotes a Medrash, where the Medrash says, Vayechi, that the main years of his life, Vayechi Yaakov, you know when Yaakov really lived? He only lived the 17 years that in Mitzrayim. That's one version of the Medrash. The other version of the Medrash is, Vayechi, he only lived Vayechi, the Gematria 34. The 17 years he was with Yosef, and the 17 years now in Mitzrayim. So I heard from Rabbi Feiner, he pointed out, very, very strong question. What do you mean, that was the best years of Yaakov's life? If you had to pick the best years of Yaakov's life, it would probably be the 14 years in Shem Ve'eva. He was a single guy, no responsibility, no kids, no wives, no bills, no nothing. Best years of his life. It doesn't even make it on the radar, according to the Medrash. The best years are either the 17 years with Yosef, the 17 years in Mitzrayim. And think about that for a second. The best years of Yaakov were the 17 years he was in Mitzrayim. Yaakov was a big Oyev Yisrael. He loved Eretz Yisrael. We know that. How do we know Yaakov loved Eretz Yisrael? Because according to the Ramban, he only kept the mitzvahs when he was in Eretz Yisrael. Why, says the Chidah? Because he wanted to get back to Eretz Yisrael. Because he loved Eretz Yisrael so much, he knew if he makes upon himself a condition that he only keeps mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, that would be an incentive for him to go back to Eretz Yisrael. For most of us, it would be reversed, right? If we know we have a free ride when we're in place one, we have no motivation to go to place two. But Yaakov loved Eretz Yisrael so much, and therefore he wanted to be in Eretz Yisrael. And his motivation was, I'm not going to keep the mitzvahs until I get there. We know. Last week's parasha, when he finally has to go down to Mitzrayim, he was not happy to go down to Mitzrayim. He loved Eretz Yisrael. So how could it be the best years of his life were the years he spent in Mitzrayim? Now we know Mitzrayim is not Eretz Yisrael. Mitzrayim is a low, low place, spiritually speaking. So how could it be that the Baal HaTurim, the Medrash, none of them even have on the radar the years that he was in Shem Ve'eva? So Rabbi Eitan Feiner explained, because those years he was single. When a person is single, he's not in completion. Okay, it helped me out to speak on a Shabbat. Shabbat brachas, it was terrific. But I think the real pshat is perhaps is like this. Is if you think about it, what was so special about these 17 years of Yaakov being now with Mitzrayim? Because when a person's main focus in life is raising his children, of course we all know we spend a lot of time and perhaps a lot of money as well raising our children, ensuring our children stay on the path that we want for them. They follow the Messiah of previous generations, but that only goes as so far as the next generation. What happens if it stops there and it's not passed on to the next generation? The full life of a person, the honest life, Vayechi, to really live, is to see at least another generation, hopefully for many of us, another generation, a fourth generation, of following the ways of Torah mitzvahs. So Yaakov educated all his children, and Yaakov saw the growth of all his grandchildren, because 11 out of the 12 of them lived with him in Eretz Canaan. So he saw Reuven, Shem, and Levi with all their issues. They got it together and they produced children that are getting it together. Baruch Hashem, I saw my grandchildren, everyone's following Torah mitzvahs. But there was one child that Yaakov didn't know about. He had no idea where Yosef was holding and where Yosef's children are holding. Yaakov didn't think for a million years, I'm going to have a Yosef who's going to live in Mitzrayim and my grandkids are going to be from kids. What's the chance? What's the likelihood? So it wasn't until he came down to Mitzrayim and spent the last 17 years watching and seeing that we know Ephraim used to learn by Yaakov. Yaakov saw Menashe. Yes, Menashe had a job, but Menashe was still acting like a from Yid. Yaakov said to himself, now I'm living. This is real life. This is Vayechi. This is the good years. I see all my children and all my grandchildren are all 12 for 12 and all the children are from. That's what we call real life. Vayechi, real life. Is what we call Yiddish Anachas. You can't transfer that, can't trade that for anything. A person sees his children are following in his path and the grandchildren are following. That's a real life. That's what Vayechi Yaakov means. Yaakov really lived. Life is defined by the Nachas we get to see from our children and our grandchildren to see that they're following in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov didn't know that until he came all the way down to Mitzrayim for the last 17 years of life, and he got to watch Menashe and Ephraim and Yosef. And Rashi tells us he saw that Yosef was a tzaddik. Now Yaakov is really living. That's what life is all about. We often lose sight about these things. We get caught up in the society around us, what life is. Life is about fun and games and how much money you can have and how many cars you can buy, but you can't trade that for Yiddish anachas, no matter what. There's nothing like good old-fashioned, doesn't cost too much money to see a grandchild, a child learning, go to a chumash play, a sitter play. These things are, there's no value to them. They're beautiful. And that's what Yaakov was teaching us. Vayechi Yaakov, that's what life was all about. It wasn't about his own personal growth. Of course, we love to personally grow, but it's about giving back. When you give over to your generation or to the next generation, children, grandchildren, hopefully a fourth generation, that's real life. So yes, he was in Shem Veva, he was receiving. But receiving is only as far as if it's then returned, given back later. So the 14 years, he was taking it all in, he was building himself up, but that's not enough. It's not enough for Yaakov himself to be a Talmid Chacham. He has to ensure his children and his grandchildren continue his legacy, and he did not merit to see that until the last 17 years of Mitzrayim. Therefore, making the last 17 years of Mitzrayim the best years of his life, when he had his whole family, first of all, together, and he saw that they survived in Mitzrayim, and they were all following his path, and that's why Yaakov Avinu was able to finally enjoy life, and he's teaching us what enjoyment is in this world. What does it mean to really enjoy life? It's really the enjoyment of seeing one's children and grandchildren. Yiddish Anachas brings a person to real joy. We've spoken in the past about Ephraim and Menashe, the roles, what they represent. We spoke about it in the Chumash here last week, this past week. But as I often tell my talmidim, I teach in yeshiva where the boys all go to college. Every boy goes to college in the afternoon, and the goal of the yeshiva is we try to push the boys, and that they're all supposed to go get jobs and become, you know, different positions, whatever they're going for. So I always tell the boys in this week's parasha, I said, what we want for you is we want you to be both an Ephraim and a Menashe. Right, people have this idea, it's one or the other. I'm saying Yisachar or Zvulun. People have in their mind, it's either Yisachar or Zvulun. I tell my Talmidim, I want you to be both. I want you to be a Yisachar and a Zvulun. What does that mean? Because you have a Chiyuv Talmud Torah. We all have a Chiyuv Talmud Torah. Yisachar represents full-time learning, and Zvulun represents full-time support. I said, we live in a world today with the way that our lives are structured, we can actually be both. You can spend a good chunk of your day learning, and if you have a good job, you can also spend a good chunk of your money supporting Torah. So when you're learning, you're being Yisachar, you're wearing a Yisachar cap. And when you can't learn because you do have to work, then you put on your Zvulun cap. So I always urge that today we can be both Yisachars and Zvulun. It's not one or the other. Today we have the ability to be both. We can learn a good chunk of the day, or whatever minutes of the day we're allowed to, or we can steal away from our working day. And then whenever we can't be working, then we become a Zvulun. It's a very chashuv thing to be able to be both, to be able to be a Yisachar and Zvulun. And the schar is enormous. We've spoken many times in the past that Yisachar and Zvulun split at 50-50. You support Torah, you get reward, and the one who learns Torah gets reward. Everyone gaining. It's an amazing investment because everyone takes and everyone benefits. Everyone gains from a Yisachar Zvulun partnership. And some people say that was Menashe Ephraim also. Ephraim was Torah, Menashe represented working because Menashe worked in Yosef's palace. But that's the agenda, the idea of this week's parasha, the end of the parasha is that when it comes to Torah, it's not one or the other. There's a partnership, a very, very real and very powerful partnership that makes the world go round between a Yisachar and a Zvulun. And I think we can all be both. In one sense or another, we can be both. We can be a Loim Dei Torah, we can learn the Torah when we can, and when we can't, we get to become a Zvulun. They say over, it says in the pasuk, Smach Zvulun B'tisecha. Zvulun is happy when he leaves. They say B'tisecha means when he leaves this world. Because when Zvulun gets to the next world, he's going to be sitting up front in the box in MetLife with all the big gedolim. Hopefully it's heated, right? Or maybe air-conditioned, I don't know, it depends up there. But he's going to be sitting with all the big gedolim. He's going to be sitting with all the big Rosh Yeshivas. So Rabbi Aaron Cutler once was saying a share before he came to America. He was already still in Europe. He was saying a share and he had a kasha in the share. Now Rabbi Aaron Cutler was a goyin adir. So Rabbi Aaron Cutler had a kasha in the share. You know, this wasn't just something like, you know, a missed Rashi somewhere in Shas. This was a bomb kasha. And that night it comes to him in a dream. It was one of the gevirim who supported the yeshiva. And he gave him a teretz. So the next day, Rabbi Aaron said over in Shir, he told his Talmidim, I want you to know, I've been telling you guys for so long that, you know, people that support Torah, when they come up to the Olam HaEmes, they mamish nol Torah. So Rabbi Aaron said, so why was I so surprised? Because I didn't think it would happen so fast. I figured the Gevir takes some time until he gets his seat in Shemayim. But this, the next night, so his Talmidim said to him, so Rebbe, so why are we wasting our time here in Yeshiva? Let's all go out, we'll get jobs, and we'll support Torah. So Rabbi Aaron told him, but you're not going to have Olam HaZeh then. That's very nice for the next world. What about this world? You spend your whole day working, you're not going to have Olam HaZeh? That was Aaron's take on this world. You want to have Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBos. If we could put the two worlds together, we could do Yisachar and Zvulun, so we can enjoy Olam HaZeh, so we'll get to learn in Olam HaZeh, and when we can't be learning, we're supporting it, so we get Olam HaBos. Yaakov Kamenetsky has a piece in Emes Yaakov, where Taka explains that, how does this work? Like, what's the lumdus? How could a person who never opened a Reb Shimon or a Reb Chaim, when Acham Eves, he's going to go to Shemayim, he's going to be able to don with Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon all the biggest sugyas in Shas? He never knew these sugyas in Shas existed. So Rabbi Yaakov explained, because we all learned Torah, Rabbi Mei Iman. We all learned Torah, but we forgot it. Why did we forget it? Because Hashem wants us to be busy in this world. So if you were busy with other things in this world, you toiled at your work to be able to support Torah, so Hashem allows you to never forget that original Torah. The rest of us were supposed to forget the Torah, so we have what to be busy with in this world. But because you're so busy in this world supporting Torah, you never forgot what you originally learned, so you're able to be with the big guns in Shemai. But I think it's very important for us that we can enjoy both. We can be Yisachar and Zvul. We can learn Torah in this world, but we can't be learning because we have to go to work at some point. Whatever the hours are, 9 to 5 today, 9 to 5 doesn't exist anymore, but whatever the hours are today, you know, 8 to 12, people work today crazy hours with emails and technology. But if you can't be learning, so at least you have the ability to be able to support Torah. We've spoken to him in the past about Maisa money should go to Loim De Torah. The more money you give to people that are learning Torah, and there are people today, everyone says, who's really learning, who's not really learning. There are people today that are really genuinely learning minutes to hours. And it doesn't matter, because if you're supporting someone who's learning Torah, even if he decides to go out for a break, your clock still runs. His clock doesn't run. So sometimes it's better to be a Zavulun than a Yisachar. Yisachar has a bigger chreis. He gets paid to be in yeshivas. That means he's got to be learning every minute of the hour. If he goes out for a coffee break, he goes out to, his kid's sick that day, he's got to babysit. Okay, he's not learning. But you, the Zavulun, your clock runs all the time. I'm supporting this guy. That's it, I'm done. I gave my money. Whether or not he battles, he doesn't battle, he had a rough night. It's your clock still runs. So on that angle, it's actually better. Your investment has a better return for the Zvulun as opposed to the Yisachar. He has a much bigger achrayus. Every minute he doesn't learn, he doesn't get any credit for it. That's what Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian says about the Noshim, the women. So the Gemara tells us in Brachos, we'll get up to it, those who are doing Daf Yomi, it's coming soon. So Daf Yedzayin, it's coming soon. But the Gemara tells us that women, what schar do they have in Liman HaTayrah? So the Gemara says, they help their husbands, they get the kids out of the school. So Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian pointed out, he said, same thing. A lady makes herself crazy that her husband go to a shir, and then he falls asleep in the shir. Which again, it happens. No one's to blame, we have long days. So his clock doesn't run. He's not learning, he doesn't get scared, but her clock runs. The moment she got him out of the house, she did everything she can do, she rushed him out, she got supper done, she gave all the kids the bath, her clock runs. Whether or not he learns, he schmoozes with his friend, plays on his phone, that's not her business. Same thing with Zvulun, it's a gewaldic idea. Your clock runs because you did your part. Now, if he doesn't learn, that's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as far as you're concerned, you got your kid out in the morning to yeshiva. The fact that your kid spent half the day in the principal's office because he misbehaved, it's your problem because he's your kid, but else your schar, you did it, you packed the snacks, you're good to go. So I gave this shir about the kids packing the snacks. My wife said to me, that's it. I'm going to start packing the kids' snacks. It used to be I had the schuss of doing snacks in the morning. She said, that's it. I'm going to take this. I said, no, I give better snacks. You give only healthy snacks to the kids. I give them the good snacks. We all know kids can't learn on healthy snacks. Okay, in any case, but it's an important message that people always say, I'm going to support Torah, I'm going to do this, but what happens if the guy bottles? It's not your problem. Obviously, you should try to find someone who you know is going to learn well. You send money to a yeshiva. Yes, every penny goes weird, this, what? Okay, I don't know. Nice amount of person supports Torah, you don't have to worry so much about how the money is spent, because you make an investment, and therefore that's the lesson I think the Torah is reminding us that we should all be, and we all could be. Again, it used to not be like that. It used to be that, the person that worked, mamish, couldn't open a Gemara, he didn't know how to learn. You're lucky you could daven and say to him. Today, we spoke about this already last week, we're in a different world today. We have Baal Batim that are learning more than guys in yeshiva sometimes, because the way their schedule works out, they're able to learn more, and they're able to divide their time better. It's a different world today. Today, Torah is for everyone. So I think today we are, instead of being Yisach as well, I think today we should bring the two worlds together. And I think we can, and we should, as much as we can. This way, as like Rabbi Aaron said, we can enjoy Olam Hazeh for the learning. We can also enjoy Olam Haba. It's a beautiful thing that when a person is not learning, and he's supporting Torah with his job, he can accomplish amazing things. One Vart on Parsha Shemais, we really get to the Parsha ahead of us. There's a famous Baal HaTur, most of this in Parsha Shemais. The Eilish Shemais is a remez, v'chayiv odom loymar, shtayim mikro v'echad targum. Baal HaTur writes in this week's Parsha, is the Mekar. For the daf today. Yeah, daf ches today. The bottom of the yomid is shtayim mikvecha targum. We've spoken many times about shtayim mikvecha targum here and other venues, how it's extremely important that some of those things, the Gemara Bracha should have counted as one of those things that everyone's mezalzel. Very, very few people are makbin on shtayim mikvecha targum. But the kash is why the rem is here in Parshas Shmois. Shouldn't the rem has been in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis? So I heard once from a colleague of mine, he said, that's a simple answer. He said, because we're about to go into the gullus. The way we survive in Gullus is when we have something that unifies us. Before Meir Shapiro introduced the Daf Yomi, Shtai Mikro used to be that thing that unified us. He met a Yid on the train, tell me a Varna on the Parsha. That's the way every conversation used to go. Now we have, you know, tell me a Varna on the Daf Yomi, because now everyone's doing Daf until we get to Erevin, where that's going to slow down. Hopefully not. Hopefully everyone should continue. I know my friends, Drasha, by Richas, but hopefully we should all continue. But for those of us who don't, that's the way conversation starts. It used to be Shtai Mikro was our conversation of joint conversation. Oh, let me tell you a Varna on the Parsha. So that was what this colleague of mine wanted to suggest. And when we're going to go into the Golos, we need even more to unify us. And in the Golos, where we're going to be spread out and we're not going to have the freedoms that we used to have, the way we're going to be unified, what's going to keep us together, is this Shtayim Mikvecha Targum. I always tell people, it's a shame. The Gemara gives you a skula for enjoyable years, enjoyable life. Right? Everyone's looking for the key of a good life and happiness, and they all skip over the Gemara. The Gemara tells you, just do Shtayim Mikvecha Targum. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, he discusses, it bothered him. You have Bnei Yeshiva, guys who spend the whole day learning Yeshiva, none of them open a Shtayim Mikvecha Targum. They're too busy learning Reb Chaim, Reb Kiveger, they don't do Shtayim Mikvecha. It's really not right, there's no heter for it. There's absolutely no heter for anyone not to do Shtayim Mikvecha. But the Gemara promises you, the Gemara tells you, you have Arichas Yom, the Marsha says it means you're going to enjoy life. Many people have a long life, but life is miserable. Yon and Vishon. Those are the two things. And it always boggles that. In my shul, I made a big pitch this year, right after Simchas Torah, to start anew. They come to save Bereshit, start again. But it's a shame that people don't take the opportunity. It takes a few minutes. You know, we spoke about this last week. When you cut out all the wasted time, you find you have time for this and you have time for that. So it's because people, there's a big machlokes Rishonim, we're supposed to do Targum, we're supposed to do Rashi. So because it's such machlokes Rishonim, people are machri, they do nothing. Okay, fine. That's not a psak. I think you should do once. Some people say you can even be yoitz if you read a good commentary on the side that translates every single word. You use different interpretations. You read different people's perushim. But do something. Have some connection to the parsha. This way, it's a skula. The Gemara gives us a skula. Again, I always tell people, you got to believe the Gemara. If you don't believe the Gemara, of course you're not going to want to do the skula. The Gemara tells you, say Yehesh Meirav B'chol Koychei Karyon Legzardinei. You got to believe it. If you don't believe it, then the whole thing is a waste. But we as maminim and maminim, I like to believe that we do think that when Chazal tells something, it's real. So Chazal tells us you have a long life. It's a worthwhile investment. It's as good as any life insurance policy you're going to buy out there, and it doesn't cost as much money. So it is the Daf Yomi today, right? Today's Ches? Yesterday was Ches. Oh, I'm a little behind. Okay. Today was Ches. Yesterday was Ches. So the Gemara tells us we should try to, in the beginning of Sefer Shmois, is the Mekar, one of the Mekaris for Shtayim Mekavechotak. Okay, we left off over here in the Gemara. We were discussing a Mishnah. But the Mishnah tells us that all tzarchei milah, all the preparatory needs for, not the preparatory, all the needs for the milah are allowed to be done in Shabbos. So the Gemara in Akasha, what's the koil? What's this riboy? All. So the Gemara says, michti, katani kulo, it says all the things you're allowed to do. So kol tzarchei milah lasuimai. So why did I have to say kol tzarchei milah? What's it including? You tell me everything is allowed to be done and it gives me five examples. So the assumption is the five examples are the things that are allowed to be done. So what's the all? We know whenever you come across a Mishnah, the Mishnah writes, Kol is always La Asuya, it's always La Rabuya, it's coming to include something. So what's the inclusion? The Tan Rabbanan, Hamol, the Moyol, one who's doing a Mila, calls Manshu Oisig B'Mila, while he's still involved in the Mila procedure, Choyze, he goes back, Bein Al Atzitzit HaMakrit HaMila, whether those strands of skin that actually invalidate the Mila, they're Ma'ak of the Mila, Bein Al Atzitzit HaMakrit HaMila, he goes back, even for those, we'll call them extra credit strands. They don't make the Mila puzzle, but they're nice to get it done. But Pirush, if he already stopped the Mila, he already separated, he put down the Miles knife and started going and getting his bagel with lox, then Allah sits in Ma'akfin as a Mila Chayzer. He's got to go back for those that are Ma'akfin. And the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, he makes a bracha taka. We spoke about that in the last week, someone was more of this. What about the bracha? So the Ramah writes, on the Tzitzit HaMa'akfin, when he goes back, after he separates, he taka does make a bracha. So the whole diyuk would be, but on the Eina Ma'akfin of Adi, he doesn't go back to make a bracha. The Ramah sounds like he only makes a bracha on the Ma'akfin. But on the Eina Ma'akfin, he wouldn't make a bracha, which is a big discussion. Do you make a bracha on Hidr Mitzvah? Because the Eina Ma'akfin are only Hidr Mitzvah. So the assumption would be you don't make a bracha on merely Hidr Mitzvah, something that's Zekeli Manveu. But Zakti Gemara, if he already separates, so Allah Ma'akfin, he goes back. Al Sheina Ma'akfin is a Mila Eina Chayzer. So.
Good.
That's what we're going to get to today. We're going to bring back into Hanukkah today, Mr. Shem. We're a couple of weeks off, but okay. We're going to try to tie this sugya. We'll see the Briskarov does it for us. How this sugya by us is very much connected to the question of how to do Hidr Mitzvah by Ner Hanukkah. Mahajim and a Mahajim. So we'll get to that. Let's just finish the Gemara. So obviously the first question over here, we spoke about this last week, the big Machlokes Rishonim. When are we talking about? The Gemara says, once you put down the Moel's knife, so then you don't go back for Tzitzit Sheinim Akfin. When? On a Tuesday? Or on a Shabbos? On a regular Tuesday, you finished the meal, you had your bagel, and then you realize you forgot that you don't go back. Why not? Why shouldn't you go back? So Pashas, you learn the Gemara, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, the way Tor learns the Gemara, and the Gemara is talking about Shabbos. Even though there is not one mention in this Braisa of the word Shabbos, which is very interesting. Again, obviously, we're learning Masechta Shabbos, but to never mention that we're talking about Shabbos is strange. The flip side would be, is he going to tell me it's talking about Bechoil? What do you lose by going back Bechoil? Why shouldn't you go back? You find out that the mitzvah is not done kitikunoi kihiduroi, so why not go back? What do you lose? So that's what we're going to discuss a little bit more today. But let's just finish the Hemshich of the Gemara, then we'll go back and deal with everything. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Pirish Enechezer. Hutak is the Tana that holds that once you separated from the Mila, you don't go back. Omer Abba Bachano, Rabbi Shmuel, Benoy Shem Rechim and Breaky. It happens to be Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Rechim and Breaky. The time you lived in the Brisa. Arba also Shechalis Bishabbos. If the 14th of Pesach, every Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so you're not going to bring the carbon Pesach, but you have to start preparing it. You have to prep it. So what do you do? So Mavshit HaPesach Arachozer. So you're supposed to skin the animal up to the chest, so you can get out the intestines. So this way you can get it ready. You can be mafshit the whole thing. So the Gemara is assuming that you... This is on Shabbos, right? So you have to be mafshit to get to the chest. The question is, now that you got to the chest, so you stop, you take out the insides, and now what's the heter to continue schlepping down the rest of the body, the rest of the animal? So says, no, you stop what you get to. Whatever you need to do, you do. Whatever you don't need, you don't do. Chacham says, no, you go all the way. So the Gemara assumes that Reb Shmuel b'noi shabeich mabreik is our Mishnah. That you're only allowed to do what you need to do. And once you stop, you can only go back for what's essential. And since the rest of the hafshata is not necessary for right now, there's no heter. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Mimai. At kan lai kam Reb Shmuel b'noi shabeich ha'asa misham d'lai b'inan zay keil van veyu. Over there, there's no hider mitzvah. The mitzvah is not done better or not better depending on what hour of the day you mafshit the whole animal. This is what we need. Avol ha'cha d'bi'inan zay keil van veyu. What's the Gemara's argument over here? How can you not go back to the tzitzit sheinam akfin? It's going to be hider mitzvah. So what do you see from the Gemara? That going back for those strands that are not ma'akiv would at least be hider mitzvah. The Gemara says, the Tanya, we'll look at the Brisa, which we'll have to discuss next week, very, very famous Brisa, Zeh keli van veyu, hisnei lefon of mitzvahs. Make mitzvahs nice. Asei lefon of sukkah noah, make a nice sukkah, lulav noah, shofar noah, tzitzis noah, sefer Torah noah. Again, we'll have to get into all the nitty gritties over here. What's the cheftz of the mitzvah? What's not mean the shofar? His pasha is not a cheftz of a mitzvah. It's the sound. The shofar merely holds the sound or produces the sound. So maybe you should have to make a nice sound, not a nice shofar. It's almost like saying I should have to have a nice house to put up a mezuzah. That's not the mitzvah. I'm sure a lot of people love that heter, but it's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not the house. The mitzvah is the mezuzah. So the shofar, what's the mitzvah of the shofar? It's not the body of the shofar. It's the koil produced by the shofar. So I would have thought the hidden mitzvah by shofar is hearing a nice shofar, not a nice shofar itself. Tzitzis noah, the sefer Torah noah, the kasab al lishma, has to be written lishma, b'dioi noi, nice ink, b'kulmas noah, bil bablabar umon, v'karcha b'shiroi non, everything has to be done nicely. So what do you see from this Gemara? You see that the reason why you should go back for the tzitz and sheinam akvin is als hider mitzvah. So that's what we're going to have to figure out. Is there shayach a concept of hider mitzvah? So the Gemara thinks there is. That's what the Gemara is assuming. That there's a musik of hider mitzvah by bris also. And when you go back for the strands that are not ma'akiv, it's hider mitzvah. So let's see over here, number two is the Torah.
Sound from this, like the knife, use a knife.
A nice knife, right.
Not the baby.
Exactly, not the cut itself, the hakdama to the mitzvah. So the Torah writes over here, number two, Hamoil calls Manshe Misasik B'Mila, as long as he's still involved in the Mila, Choyze Bein Al Tzitz HaMakvim, Enei Yashayim Makvim. That's the Gemara. Pirish, remember, once he took a break, Enei Choyze El Al Makvim. Zok the Torah, V'Ein Tzarech Lachzor Al Shein HaMakvim. He does not need to go back for those that are not Makvim. Svar Machairim Pirshu, Mairi Bishabbos. This whole Gemara is talking about Shabbos. So then, Oz Chayzer Al Makvin. So on Shabbos, you gotta go back for those things that are Makvin. Aval Eine Chayzer Al Sheine Makvin. But you don't have to go, you don't go back for those that are
Makvin.
Oh, good. That's what we're gonna talk about. But Shesh is gonna point that difference out. One place is gonna be Ein Tzarech, one place is Ein Yochel. If it's Chol, you don't have to. But if it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to. That's gonna be a big problem we're gonna get to, I hope. Aval Eine Chayzer Al Sheine Makvin. Aval Bechoyel. So the Torah learns, the way we learned Rashi, that the whole Gemara is on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, once, if you're still in the middle of it, you go back for everything. Once you stop, you can only go back for the Makvin. That makes sense. Why? Because it's Shabbos. There's an Isser Chavola on Shabbos for the Dur Bris Mila. We spoke about many times what exactly the Isser is, but there's some form of an Isser. So to go back for those things that are not necessary is an unjustifiable Chilul Shabbos. But what's Chol Zok the Torah? Why not go back for everything? What do you have to lose?
What's the difference when you stop? What
does that mean? We're going to have to talk more about that also. It means you're still Isaac in the original Maaseh Rishayim.
But if there's something the matter with, fundamentally, something Chilul Shabbos with getting those tzitzin that are not Ma'akev, So what's the difference if I'm in the middle?
Oh, good.
I finished the bris. I finished the parts that are ma'akev.
Okay, we'll have to see.
Okay, stop.
So we're going to have to see what the significance of being oisik in the first ma'is is also. Okay, we'll have to get to that.
When you go back to the tisa ma'akev, what mitzvah are you fulfilling?
Oh. That's the question.
Mila or is
hiddur mitzvah? That's what we're going to have to get to next week, Shem Mitzvah Shem. The Bavus, the Brisker Rav about it, is hiddur mitzvah a part of the chelik of the original mitzvah, or hiddur mitzvah is a separate din? Is it every mitzvah is a din hiddur mitzvah? So when I do the mitzvah of sukkah noya, it's not that I'm doing the mitzvah of hiddur mitzvah, I'm doing the mitzvah of sukkah. And every mitzvah has attached to it a tanai, it's supposed to be, the Brisker Rav talks about that a later.
Bracha would determine that as well. I mean,
perhaps
mitzvah,
that's right. If it's a separate din, if Advei was a dovet study, it's a separate part. We'll get to that. There's a brisker of like that in I think it's in Nazir. We'll see it blineder hopefully next week. But the tour lecher makes the most sense, right? If it's chol, why not go back? It's like you have to ask yourself again. And it's mefurish in the Gemara that the motivation to go back is hidden mitzvah. There's such a concept called hidden mitzvah. So why not go back? Well, what do you have to lose? You finished the bris milah is over, so what? You found out that you missed it, why not go back?
And according to the people who say it's a chal, when would you go back then? Like the next day?
Whenever you can, as soon as you can, I would assume you should go back as soon as you can. Right? The question is, what? Meaning the Torah assumes, if it's even if it says the Shaynim Akhtin and you finish the milah, you go back. It's only the Gemara says you don't go back, the Gemara's talking about on Shabbos. But b'chol, you go back. Says the Beis Yosef, according to the Rambam, not so. We spoke about this last week at length, that the Rambam sheet is not like that. But look, this Beis Yosef is very important for us. The Rambam writes two places, the din of the Gemara, and says the Beis Yosef, the kasval in the first wide lines, the last group of lines, the kasval in Shabbos nirish husava, the bein b'chol bein b'Shabbos misni. The Beis Yosef explains the Rambam, and this is a gepshuta in the Rambam, that the Rambam is talking about both b'chol and Shabbos. Well, the fizet tzarich loymer the einah choizik tani. So 1 second, if you're going to learn like this, the Rambam is saying that what bein b'chol bein b'Shabbos, you don't go back once you took a break. So then the question is, you're going to have to. So why did the Rambam say it twice? Because the Rambam is telling you there's two separate halachas. Bechoil, when you don't go back, it means you need not go back. On Shabbos, it means you may not go back. You're not allowed to go back. Bechoil, you could go back if you want. You don't do anything wrong, perhaps, at least according to the Beis Yosef's understanding of the Rambam, but you don't have to. That's how the Beis Yosef learns the Rambam. Mufizat Tzarech Loimer. The Eine Choyze Diktoni Laga Bechoil, when it says Eine Choyze by weekday, Pirushi, Eine Tzarech Lachso. That means you don't have to. Ulagabi Shabbos Pirushu Eini Rashoy Lachzer, and Shabbos means you're not allowed to. Ubesimir Reish Samachavav Kosev Abenu Shabalo Itter Pasak. There's actually a very interesting Balo Itter. The Balo Itter Paskins not like this Gemara. He Paskins that you're allowed to go back even for the Eina Ma'akvin even after you took a break, because we'll see it's really a Machlokes Tanoim. And the Balo Itter Paskins like that Shita that you're allowed to go back even after you took a break on Shabbos also. Okay, we'll get back to that in the Beis Halevi, hopefully. So what do you have over here? This is going to be very important going forward. When we see some other pshatim in the Achrayim to explain the Rambam, we're going to have to see that it's not going to work with this line in the Beis Yosef. What's the Beis Yosef telling us? The Rambam wrote twice this din of the Gemara about going back and not going back. So the question was why? Says the Beis Yosef, because the Rambam holds it's applicable both by Shabbos and Bechol. So why does he write it twice? Because by Shabbos he's telling you, you're not allowed to go back. Bechol is telling me you don't have to go back. Which means according to the Beis Yosef, if you want to, you could. Nothing wrong with it, but you're not obligated. So the question is, why not? Why doesn't hiddur mitzvah dictate that I should go back for the tzitzit she'enam akvin on a Tuesday? Why not? What do you have to lose? So we mentioned last week, we'll see it again inside, the famous var from the Beis Halevi.
Is this a kasha also on the Beis
Halevi? No, it's a kasha on it's on the Rambam, generally speaking. I'm highlighting this point because we're going to see, hopefully later today, there's a pshat from the Chassam Sofer, that the Chassam Sofer holds you're not allowed to go back. Chassam Sofer holds the Rambam held you're not. Not only don't you have to, you're not allowed to because during the week. Yeah, that's how he learns the Rambam, and that's clearly not with this Beis Yosef.
Because it's so subjective. Like, how bad is the situation that would warrant you going back or not?
Or it can't be that bad because it's not.
Well, that again, it's not ma'akiv the key of a mitzvah. The question is, why doesn't hiddur mitzvah kick in and dictate you should have to go back? So we'll see in a few minutes. Chassam Sofer says because that's called chavala shalom
l'tzarich. So in no case.
So that does not work with the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef doesn't say also you just say in itzarich. We'll have to deal with that separately.
In no case.
No. This is all halachically. These are strands that are not pasul the mila, but it's not hinder. You're yoitze, no question. Get the check, but it's not mehuder. So the question is, so why not go back to make him mehuder? So the Beis Halevi says this is a gavaldic idea over here. Let's see it inside. Now the truth is, we saw the Shagasayu yesterday, last week. To my humble opinion, the Shagasayu and the Beis Halevi sound like the same thing. Yet the Beis Halevi writes, look at what the Shagasayu writes and look what I'm about to say. Which gives you the impression it's not the same thing, but I don't know. To me, it sounds like the same thing. But we'll read the Beis Halevi inside. Zok the Beis Halevi. Vanir b'daitish al Rambam liyash. Okay, what's the $1 million question on the Rambam? Why not go back on a Tuesday? You do the bris. The rabbi says, good, you got all the tzitzit hamakvin, but you missed the tzitzit hamakvin. And you put down the moel's knife, so the rabbi says, yeah, you don't have to go back. Why not? Why don't I have to go back? Because of the din of hidden mitzvah. You see from our Gemara, the Gemara tells him before that this is Zekei Levan Veyu. So if Zekei Levan Veyu doesn't hidden mitzvah kick in, and now require me to have to go back, why did the Ram hold it?
Tuesday, right?
Right, we're talking about Tuesdays, not Shabbos. Shabbos, everyone agrees you don't go back. What's going on? So the Beis Halevi comes up with this idea. He writes, Darivad Kosha, Ma Parcha Gemara Aval Hocha Debin of Van Veyu. The Gemara by us asked, you need to have Van Veyu. Or maybe Lach Breisa, the attorney, brings the famous Breisa, Asay Lefon of Sukinor, the Ma Dimin, who's Zeloze? Frank the Beis Levi, what is the comparison to fixing tzitz and she'ena ma'akvin to a nice sukkah? The bishloma besukkah v'lulav kisha oisa oisa noa ikka be'ez kim shala mitzvah van veyu. When I go to the moicha lulavim, and he shows me two lulavim, he says, this lulav is muhudah sheb muhudah. This lulav is kosher, but it's not muhudah. So when I buy the expensive lulav and I shake it, at the moment when I'm doing the mitzvah, I'm doing an elevated level of kim ha-mitzvah. At the time of the mitzvah, I have a nicer form of a mitzvah. So he writes over here, that's taka, that's hidden mitzvah. It's over. I finished the mitzvah of Mila, says the Beis Halevi. It's done. Over. Finished. Check.
That's if the mitzvah is just the cutting.
Right?
Not the status.
Oh, that's the famous Beis Halevi. That's where he says, as you say, we'll get to that in a second. So the Beis Halevi, if you assume the whole mitzvah is the cutting, and I cut all that was required to be cut, I am done. Finished. Go home. Says the Beis Halevi, Darei HaMitzvah Hu Lomos B'Nevi Kvar Olav Mabu. U'Kishiyavzer Achash Shukar Pirish V'Sidil Gyodav Al Tzitzah Shein Ma'akvin Harei Yisno'e B'Loi Kima Mitzvah. You're doing a nicer mitzvah, but there's no mitzvah here. It's over. You're done. You're finished. What are you doing now? You're dressing up the baby. For what? The mitzvah's over. Bishlom HaKoydim Sh'ah. So what's the difference while I'm still doing it? Says the Beis Halevi, U'Bishlom HaKoydim Sh'isalak Yodav Davi HaKol Maisa Achas. You look at it as one big extension of the process. So Shabbat M'choyim Lachta K'amayitim Sh'ayin Ma'akvin K'desh Yotza Maisa HaMitzvah Muhuderis. So this way it's still considered that the whole action is still being done. I can check off this was done Muhuder. Aval Achash appears to cry in Kan Sh'mitzvah Mideris. There's nothing going on over here. Imke B'ma Yisno'eh. What am I making nicer? I never heard, says the Beis Halevi, of a hidden mitzvah without a mitzvah.
So he has to hold you and not make a bracha.
No, he's saying that there's not even reason to go back.
You can't
beautify a mitzvah when the mitzvah is over. The entire classical example of hidden
mitzvah.
Right, according to the Beis Halevi, there's no reason to go back because you're not getting any credit. According to the Beis Halevi, hidden mitzvah only is shayach while you're doing the mitzvah. When I'm going to have two objects of a mitzvah in front of me and I choose one over the other because it's nicer, that's fulfillment of Zekei Levan Veyu.
Okay, so this is a good argument that you don't make a bracha, but why can't you do
because you're not doing anything.
You can still go back
Fix what up? It's over. The mitzvah is already over.
The mitzvah is over. All right, so there's no mitzvah.
So what are you going back to beautify?
To make it aesthetics.
For who? For the baby?
Not
I don't think that's not a mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah.
It's not a mitzvah.
It's like plastic surgery.
No, he's saying there's no. We'll see that in the Chassam Sofer. He's saying there's absolutely zero credit from Shemayim.
You can do
a lot of things.
Otherwise, you can share the sugar.
The Lashon was can't do it.
The Beis Yosef's Lashon was, you don't need to go back. This works out very nicely. You don't need to go back because you will not get any credit in Shemayim.
Now
we'll see. The Chassam Sofer is going to say, like you're suggesting, that you don't go back because you're not allowed to go back.
Basically, if you're not accomplishing anything,
what happens? So the Chassam Sofer kicks back in according to the Beis Halevi.
Cut somebody for a purpose.
Okay, we'll see. We'll get to the Rambam and Hilchos Chevel Mazik. We'll see what's suggested. But the point of the Beis Halevi is there will be no credit rendered for this mile to go back. Therefore, why go back? Says the Beis Halevi. V'zeh kamon istapakti. He said, it's something I was always wondered about. But mishanoit the lulav kosher b'yamtav shal sukkos. A guy already took his lulav. Then he comes to his friend's house for the yamtav suda, and he sees a beautiful lulav. He says to himself, oh, you know what? I want to take it again because I want to do hidden mitzvah. He says, basically, you're wasting your time. Basically, he wanted to know, Reb Chaim Kledis in Chakira, is there a musig of hidden mitzvah after the mitzvah is already over? Right, I already shook my lulav in the morning, I got my check. Again, assuming that the lulav was kosher. They say Reb Chaim used to bedafka take a lulav that's questionable if it's even kosher. This way, you can always turn out, I was never yet to the first time, and now I can be yet to the second time with the hidden mitzvah. But if you take a lulav that the rabbi says is kosher, it's kosher, so it's over. You already got the mitzvah of lulav, unless you made a lamdashah tonight. You made it tonight. I only want this to be a mitzvah all the tonight. That is all I have. It's already.
I've
shown already Hakachinik. Those guys are already Hakachinik type of people. Those are people you want to send away, right? But in any case, So the Beis Halevi, what are you going to do now? You already did the mitzvah. Hit the mitzvah doesn't mean doing mitzvah is nicer. It means doing the mitzvah in a nicer way. So he writes over here, Yeshua Medavagav de Lebachtchila. Avad initially, in my Yilafon, if Shneim Biach, if I too love him on the table, Hayimachoy Little Hanoah. I should have taken the Noah, the nicer one. I already did it. The Yotzabon, I already fulfilled the mitzvah. The Ein Olav Chirim Shalom Mitzvah, Im came B'mah Yisno Ezeh B'loy Mitzvah. Meir Zakta Beis Levi, beautiful pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam says, what are you going back for? It's over, it's finished. You can't L'mafreya make the mitzvah more mohud, the mitzvah's over. So now what's the $1 million question? So what does Rashi in the Torah hold? Beis Levi set up such a beautiful argument in the Rambam that these the Rambam holds you don't go back b'choil because what are you going back for? It's over. So what is the Rashi in the Torah? Rashi, till now we thought Rashi in the Torah were much more logical. Why not go back? But after we saw this Beis Levi, you have to ask yourself, why go back? What am I going back for? The mitzvah's over. So you're going to have, so this is where the Beis Levi comes up with his novel idea that the mitzvah of meal is not merely cutting off the skin. If the mitzvah of meal would be just to cut off the skin, so then the Beis Levi's right. It's over. Says the Beis Levi number 5, Ubedas Ator, the Svir Lady Bechol Tzarech Lazar, Avagav Da Korcha Chavi Aschol Achrita, the Zewa Tam Lafi Amaskona Dei Nechoiz B'Shabbos, that's why you don't go back because it's a new start. Hanira Svir Lady, the mitzvahs mila nimsheches ala adam kol yimei chayav. So the Beis Halevi, what are you going to have to say? That these rishayim hold that the mitzvah mila is not over the moment you cut it off. It's a mitzvah nimsheches. It continues kol yimei chayav. K'may b'tzitzis l'manda amar kli kufsa chayav b'tzitzis. The mishor shemata b'tzitzis mikayim ha-mitzvah kol zman shemona chabeg b'kufsa. Every minute the clock is continuously running. The minute you put on the tzitzis, the beged's running. That's if you hold it as a chayvis beged. At the moment you put the tzitzis onto the beged, that's it. Every second you make kind of the mitzvah. Here also, k'may kibim milas v'ilah dator. Tal mavad the ma'isa ha'atzma shel hamila. Besides for the hanu chatichas orlo. Besides for the actual cut, that's a mitzvah. Ha'oid zoyz nimsheches ilah. There's another element of mitzvah that continues forever. The svilah da mitzvah have al yisrael shiyu nimolim. There's a mitzvah that we should all be gimalt. Everyone has to have a bris meal.
He's saying
I'm still involved in it. No, you're still Isaac now. That's the point. You're still considered involved. The mitzvah's not over yet. You're still in the parish. You're still like you never put the knife down.
Look at it like. You should be allowed to go back on Shabbos, according to
this. You should be allowed. Who says Hiddur Mitzvah is Deicha Shabbos?
No.
Is this Hiddur Mila? No, you're saying.
It's Hiddur Mila. Oh, we'll have to see. Oh, that's what we're going to talk about next week.
But no, if I'm involved, I can do it. And I was saying, well, right. If I'm done, I'm still not done.
That's the question. So that's what we're going to have to see next week, Mr. Shem. We'll see where Hiddur Mitzvah starts and ends. Blin Eder. Okay, good. Good point. So therefore, Zokta Meslev, Mishomach Yisvila Tor, Davagav the Pirish, Have Aschal Achrita. So the way the Beis Halevi wants to set everything up is that's goof of the Machloikis Rishonim. Machloikis between Rambam and the Torah is what is the mitzvah of meal? Is it just a cut and the cut's over, it's done? Or the mitzvah is to be gemalt? The mitzvah is a status of a meal on me. So as long as I still have, meaning, according to the Beis Halevi, I'm not done just because the cut's over.
You're involved in the mitzvah every single day.
That's right. Like the famous Gemara with David. And therefore I can still be Mahadu because I'm still oisig in the mitzvah.
If you would like that, it's only the cut, then where does the Gemara even come in?
Oh, that's the problem. Good.
Good.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about next week. Good. Good kasha. Very stark kasha. If you learn like the Rambam, the Gemara is very hard to compare.
It does bother me. The Gemara does list Mila as one of
it. It does not. The Braisa where we have Hiddur Mitzvah is never quoted in Mila. No. Yeah, so we're going to have to see how exactly Hiddur Mitzvah works.
I feel the Gemara understood it wasn't an exhaustive list.
Right, the Gemara only read some, and we'll have to discuss which ones it did pick on the list. So the Beis Halevi makes it a very yeshivish shtickle term here, where he says, Machloikis Rishonim, between the Rambam and Rashi, is totally what the Mitzvah of Mila is. Yeah, sounds like it, right? This is the famous Beis Halevi we've spoken about many times, but now we see the whole piece of it where he's trying to be mazbe this machlokes rishonim. So the Rambam held that the mitzvah of mila is just a cut. So once you finish the cut, there's nothing more to talk about. While Rashi and the Torah held the lomdus of the mitzvah of mila is a continuous mitzvah, like David HaMelech said, it's a continuous mitzvah. Therefore, it's still considered oisik ba, and therefore I'm able to do hidden mitzvah. That's the Beis Halevi's vort. Now his grandson, the Brisker Rav, in following a good line of briskers, disagreed with his Zayda. The Brisker Rav had a different way of understanding the Machloikis. What's the other way of understanding the Machloikis between the Rambam and the Torah? Not the way the Beis Halevi did it. How would we have done it? we would have said that they're arguing about the premise of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi made up a chiddush. There's no musik of hidden mitzvah after the mitzvah is over. Says the Beis HaLevi, says the Brisker Rav, no. That gufa the machlokes. The Brisker Rav argued on the Zayda, and he said, no. My Zayda made up this new Yisoid that what? That once the mitzvah is over, you can't go back and fix it. I disagree. So I don't have the Brisker Rav on the Grizal Rambam.
That makes a lot of sense.
What the Beis HaLevi is saying?
Yeah.
Agreed.
The 100%.
For some reason, the Grizal Rambam they don't have on Oitzar Chachma. It's complicated to know what made its way to Oitzar Chachma and what didn't. But Grizal Rambam is not on Oitzar Chachma. So I had to find it in the Shiurim of Reb David Pavarsky on Yevamos and Daf Mem Zayin. He quotes this Brisker Rav. So he goes to the Brisker Rav number 6. And some other good chedushim from David Pavarsky.
Yeah.
That's where you look.
Yeah.
No, because the Gemara in Yevamos that has to do with our sugi, which we'll get to in a few minutes.
Is that because it's also on the stencil? That's why I didn't make it to the print.
No. There's some cheshbon. I don't know how it works. Every once in a while, you do have to pay. No, there are some brisker stuff. There's no logic. I asked the guy once why some stuff. He didn't give me a good answer. It obviously has to do with money. A lot of it has to do with the family. The family doesn't. For example, there's none of the Chavadas and none of the Abi Omer is up there, but all the Yakut Yosef is up there. So it's Reb Baruch Ber is not up there. I asked him why is none of Reb Baruch Ber's. It's very confusing. I never exactly got a handle on what's there, what's not there. But in any case, so David Pavarsky quotes this brisker Rav. He writes it this Ochin. Not like the Zayda, the Beis HaLevi learned that they're arguing about what the lumbus of the mitzvah is, but everyone agrees to the premise of the Beis HaLevi. No, they're actually arguing, is it possible to do a hidden mitzvah after the mitzvah is over? The Torah will argue. Machlokes Rishayim will be Rashi in the Torah hold. You could go back to fix up a mitzvah even though the mitzvah is over. While the Rambam says no. Oh. So this is a very famous.
But they all agree that the cutting is the whole mitzvah.
Right, Lefizet, then they all agree that the cutting is the mitzvah. This is a famous brisker Rav, which we probably could have done on a Chanukah sugya, but we didn't. But we'll say it over here now because we're close enough from Chanukah. So he writes this. This is all really cutting and pasting from the brisker Rav. At the end, Reb David Pavarsky throws in his own chiddush. He writes this. The famous machlokes Rishayim between the Rambam and Rashi. How do you do hider mitzvah by neres Chanukah? What's mahadrin mina mahadrin? So he quotes over the Rambam Hilchos Chanukah, the Hadi Isa B'Gemara. The Gemara says, the Ner Chanukah, have a Ner Ishu Beis. Right? The Gemara says, the baseline Chiv of Ner Chanukah is Ner Ishu Beis. For Mahadrin, what's the next level of Mahadrin? That's Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. Everyone has their own one candle. Hainu, the Balabayis Atzmai, this is the way the Rambam learns it. The Balabayis Atzmai, Moisev U'madag Ner Ishu Kfim Minyan Anche Bayis. For Loishu Kol Echad Yadik Ba'atzmai. The Rambam's version of Mahadrin Min Ahadrin doesn't mean that each one lights a menorah. It means that the menorah is lit by one person with more neiros representative of the people in the house, but not more menorahs. That's the Rambam sheet. Avala Ramo Kosav v'yeshayimim shkolechem ne'abayis. Yeah, I'm like, no, mahajim v'nahajim means each person in the house kindles his own menorah, whether it's one or seven or eight, but everyone lights another menorah. V'hainu, the mefarish, the hodik kamer ner l'cholecha v'echa, hainu shkolecha, yalik v'atzmai. The Rambam learned the Gemara Kipshutei. What does the Gemara say? Ner l'cholecha v'echa doesn't mean a ner representative for cholecha v'echa. It means that each person lights a menorah. So we have machloikis Rishayim. The Rambam is not making this up. He's quoting from Rishayim. Machloikis up Rishayim. What do you? How's mahadrin done? Is mahadrin mean that each person lights his own menorah, or mahadrin means that each the baal ha-menorah lights more candles representing the amount in the family? Says the Brisker Rav, what's the machlokes talian? Why is one say one says the other? Because if it gives the vayd the pligi bahanal, ishaya chidah mitzvah below asiyas mitzvah. Can you have chidah mitzvah without an actual act of mitzvah? Darei ner l'cholecha v'echad havirak din chidah mitzvah. Says the Brisker Rav, how are you going to have chidah mitzvah over here? What's the mitzvah? The ikar mitzvah is ner l'cholecha v'echad. That's a chidah mitzvah. So how are you going to fulfill the mitzvah? So if I'm going to take my mitzvah, I'm the Baal HaBayis, I have a mitzvah, so I'm going to make my mitzvah more beautiful. Or I'm going to give my mitzvah to someone else, and now he's doing the hider mitzvah. How can he do the hider mitzvah if it's not the mitzvah that the owner of the house should light the menorah? So the owner... Well, maybe. If you assume the mitzvah is on one person to be madlik in the bayis, so giving other people to be madlik is taking the mitzvah and kind of is spreading it.
But if
you understand the baseline mitzvah is ner ishu beis, is one person lighting, so when you have multiple people lighting, that's hider mitzvah on top or separated from the mitzvah itself.
So the ma'isa mitzvah is when the baal bayis lights, then
that's right.
Exactly.
So then, what's the best way of doing it? Have the baal bayis light multiple candles. That's why the mitzvah is being beautified, as opposed to a hiddur being done.
You mean that even if the Baal HaBayis is doing it, once he lights the minimum amount,
That's true. Agreed. But at least the mice is being beautified as opposed to a Tovet study. So Zakti Biskirov, beautiful. Zakti Biskirov, our Rambam is Lashitasai to Rambam Hilchas Chanukah. Why? The Savar, he holds Gabi Tzitzit Shein Ma'akvin, it's a mitzvah. What does Rambam hold by Tzitzit Shein Ma'akvin? You don't go back on a weekday. Why not? Because the way the Beis Halevi explained it, right? The Loshai Chidim Mitzvah, Blayasi is a mitzvah. How can I go back on a Tuesday for a bris that's over to make it Hidr? You can't have Hidr if there's no mitzvah. Now the Rambam is up against the wall when it comes to Hilchas Chanukah, and he tries to figure out how he's going to do Hidr Mitzvah by Chanukah. What are you going to do? So you can have the kids light a menorah. What do you mean? That's not the mitzvah. That's a Hidr Mitzvah, not connected to the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the Ne'er Rishu Beis. What? But again, that's still not the mitzvah. The original mitzvah was one person lights a menorah. The Baal Bais lights a menorah. One menorah in the house. Additional menorahs are not the mitzvah.
But it's still a
seer's
mitzvah.
It's that, we'll see. So the Varsik is going to try to say some type of alumnus. But he writes like this, V'imken Ram L'shitasi Gevaldik. L'chei mochach l'farish de b'ner Chanukah, ha-Baal Bais, hu shemad de k'nege kol echavech, it's got to be the Baal Bais. Da'oz havi ha-kol hadloch achas. That's one mice hadlocha, one mitzvah, that's being beautified with many candles. V'havi ha-hidr b'shas kima mitzvah.
But what is
the hitter lighting more candles, or the hitter having more candles lit?
But again,
if he's having
more candles lit, then you can have other people do it.
If
the hitter is lighting the candles, then it makes more sense.
Okay, so we'll see. Dov Pavarsky, the last stickle, where he says in his own chiddush, he's going to say something along those lines.
Not only that, if the
mitzvah
is not only lighting it, it's lighting it and it has to be lit
for half. Good. That's part of Dov Pavarsky. He's going to be medamed this to the Beis Halevi's Nimshechus. He wants to argue that halakas Nechanukah might be like Mila. That's a mitzvah Nimshechus. It's not light the menorah you're done. It's supposed to continue. We'll see in a second. Oh, the fears I to biskur of number 8 on the left side. Avol, but if the Rama would have learned imahol, you call echad malik with nafsu. If each person would light his own menorah, harik kol adlock, I've had lock in the fredes. Each person lighting his own menorah. That's not the mitzvah. Sheina shaych is leikar mitzvah. V'zei yevshel das Rambam. Ulechein pirish da baal bais malik be'ad kulam da kol adlock achas v'mitzvah nasis behider. Avol harama. What does the Rama hold up to biskur of? Savad the shaych the mitzvah. Af achak kima mitzvah. You can do it afterwards. Kamei de pasak. Biyaridea. That's how the Ramah passes by us. The Ramah holds like the Tur and Rashi. Then on a weekday, you go back. Says the Biskirov, why on a weekday do you go back? So the Beis Halevi said, why you go back on a weekday is because it's a mitzvah Nemsheches. Says the Biskirov, no. You know why these Rishonim you go back? Because there's Da'am Musik as a concept, however we have to explain it, that you can go back even after the mitzvah is over. Therefore, Zakti Biskirov, everything is beautiful. So the Ramon Shulchan Aruch passing like those Rishonim that hid the mitzvah Shaykh even after the fact. So if hid the mitzvah Shaykh after the fact, so you can have many people lining the menorah. But the Ramam who passed that you don't go back for hid the mitzvah after the fact, the Ramam was stuck. The Ramam had to kvetch that the lumbus of Ner Chanukah is going to be the madlik lights many candles. A very nice shtickel toy from the Biskirov. Now maybe one Yechanukah will take issues with this Biskirov, but for today we'll leave it the way it is. Very nice shtickel toy from the Biskirov, not like his grandfather. He wants to tie in that that's goof of the Machloikis Rishonim the Beis Halevi was of the opinion, no, everyone agrees to my Hanocha. You can't have a mitzvah Mehudr after the mitzvah is over. The argument is the mitzvah really over? While going to the Biskirov, the Machloikis is the mitzvah still moving? Says Reb David Pavarsky, the last paragraph, V'ulai, Neymar, maybe you can say the Gamben and Chanukah Choshev Diyesh Adayin Hemshech LeMitzvah. Maybe you'll somehow tell me that Chanukah is also a mitzvah Nimsheches. It's a continuous mitzvah. Kimay B'Mila. Why? Do I Iker Shir Zman to be Inan Shiyadlik? Because there is a time that you need it to be lit. Yesh Lodan, what that shows. That doesn't make it a mitzvah Nimsheches. That's just a Tanai in the mitzvah. The mitzvah needs, you have to have a lighting. A lighting means it has to have some substance to it. I mean, the Rai L'chari K'neged of Dover Barsky is we pass in Kofsa in Zakakula. It blows out, you're not Yetzer. What do you mean? Terence is, you see, you don't need it to be a mitzvah Nimshach. It needs to be Ro'i L'hamshach. It doesn't actually have to be Nimshach. I don't understand what he means by this. V'shap edomi l'milo, oy de'efshe de nechanako gorak, even the hadlok oysa mitzvah. Okay, he himself bavorns that maybe it's different because it's hadlok oysa mitzvah means it's done right now. So yesh lodon whether or not you can say such a lomnis. But l'chaira, that was the piece of the briskera. Okay, but let's go back to the Beis Halevi for a second. The Beis Halevi made the following assumption. The Beis Halevi said that you can't have hider mitzvah once the mitzvah is already passed, and once it's big kasha, his kasha, then once the comparison to lulav noah and talis noah, those things are all before the fact. After the fact, says the Beis Halevi, this tapakti, I'm not sure if there's a concept of going back to do a mitzvah after the mitzvah is over. So the pre-yitzah, Yitzhak Blazer was one of the outstanding talmidim for Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So, he wrote a sefer called Pri Yitzchak. I saw yesterday in a sefer for a story with him and Reb Chaim. Interesting story. Reb Yitzchak Blazer was trying to push the Musar movement, and Reb Chaim was not pro the Musar movement, as was the popular opinion back then. So Reb Yitzchak Blazer came to Reb Chaim with Alam Neshetayin. He tied it to Reb Chaim It says in the Gemara, we learned in Daf Yomi not too long ago. The Gemara says that if you want to stay clear from Averis, so there's a hierarchy, what do you do? So first you learn Torah, then you say Kriya Shema, then you say Askriya Mamis. Well, that's the hierarchy. So Rabbi Yitzchak Blaz said to Reb Chaim, you got to learn Musar. Why? Because it seems like from the Gemara, these things are more like segulas. You know, and a segula only works if you do it exactly perfectly well. He said, but as long as we don't know how to do it perfectly well, we don't know exactly how to learn the Torah in a way that's going to be making us. So maybe we got to go back to the one that works. Askriya Mamisa, Musar is Askriya Mamisa. We all got to learn Musar. So we're Yamaka, like we learned. So Reb Chaim said back to him, no, not true. He said, there's a Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara says, Barossi, it's a hard Barossi, Torah Tavlin. So Torah is a Tavlin. So Torah is like a medication. Medication doesn't work with schoolers. It's take the medication, you'll get better. So therefore, Zach Reb Chaim, learn the Torah, you'll get better. Nothing to talk about. So he didn't hear the Reb Yitzchak Blaz's argument for learning Musar. Okay, that was a big, very big heated debate in those years. People don't realize that. I once spoke about this. Someone yelled at me, how can you tell Bachram today that there were people once in history that were against Musar? Because it's true. That's why I said it. Mm-hmm. You're going to make up history? We'll leave that to the other side of the American politics to make up history. It's true. There were people that thought that you could nuts all the Musar you need from Gemara Rashi Taisus. Is that true today? Of course not. But there was a time in history where there's some very hush of a people that were very anti the Musar. They thought the Musar is not part of Torah, whatever it is. Today, already we all know Musar. That was...
I don't think
they changed it. Today, everyone learns Musar. They say, but Salvechik said this Kaddish, that I think Rabbi Yerucham. Once Rabbi Yerucham's Musar, Yerucham Lvovitz's Musar already became a different type of a Musar. Now everyone learns some form of a Musar.
It's more of Ashkafa.
It's Ashkafa. You know, there's more
not
talk.
Like it tells
right. It's not like it used to be, you know, everyone learned Gemara. That's all they learned. And that got them all the Sipur Kachayim that they needed. Today, we need Musar. How do you do Musar? That's already a discussion. How to be Machanach in the Musar. But Rabbi Yitzchak Blaz was a big Gadol. He was a Rav in St. Petersburg. He was a rabbi, right? He was Yitzchak Blazer was a big Baal Musar, but he wrote Gevaldik Svarim that people don't learn because they're Shalos and Tshuvas. They're real stories. So he has a Shalos and Tshuvas over here like this, where he talks about this Beis Halevi. They're contemporaries. So he talks about this Beis Halevi and he argues adamantly on the Beis Halevi. He has a nice lumdus over here. He writes, he says Lefiza calls Manshlei top number 9. He writes Lefiza calls Manshlei Tasser Hatzitzin Adain Ein Amitzvah Muhuderes. He wants to tie in over here that what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to have a clean orla. That's the mitzvah. It's to have an orla that's muhudr. To have a he's going to get to that in a second. He wants to suggest that maybe it's shy chidr mitzvah on the me'ina ma'akvim because not the pshat that the mitzvah is not over, but the mitzvah is good for the final result. The mitzvah is to have an orla that's nice and clean with no tzitzin on it. Even though the tzitzin are ainam akvim, v'teidai sabin yoraya, the inaim of the mitzvah ma'is hachatoch b'lo inyan klal hasimim enoh orla. He's saying differently. The Beis Halevi said the mitzvah was to be gemalt. He's saying the mitzvah is to remove the orla, to have an orlaless aver. What does it mean to have an orlaless aver? It means to have an orlaless aver with all its trimmings, whatever is there. Get everything gone.
Without the
trimmings. Without the trimmings, exactly. In Cain. Right, the actual cut doesn't make it any better. Even if you're going to do it again. The godless is not the cut. The godless is the removal of the orla. You have this little piece of skin that Kosh Baruch Hu gave us. You got to get rid of it, and you got to clean it up and make the area nice. Ha'orla legamri v'yisha ha'torah golim mikol l'kol l'mara ha'ayin. Interesting. Most of us think mila is a pretty private experience. It's not like perception of the world. He says no. You have to remove the orla to the point where the top of the ha'torah is revealed to everyone. Nothing veer. It's clean. That's the mitzvah according to the Yitzchak Blaz. Interesting chiddush. Most of us don't think like that. We don't think no one cares how your milah looks, right? We care how the lulav looks and the esrog looks. No one cares how the milah looks. No, heder mitzvah is because the mitzvah he's understanding is to remove that extra skin that Kosh Baruch Hu gave us. Remove it in a way that's taka gone, clean, a clean cut, nothing left, nothing there. Lefize kol shalei mol hatzitzin ein mitzvah muhuder mishleimus. So therefore, zaktim, I disagree. I hold that the mitzvah is not over yet. The mitzvah is not the cutting. The mitzvah is to have a clean area from this orla. It's not clean yet. I still have these strands that are hanging around.
That's hidder.
No, the mitzvah is... No. The mitzvah is to remove the arla with X and Y rules. I got to remove... In order to be considered, I remove the arla, I got to cut X and Y. I did that. But if you want to know the mitzvah is to be a clean arla, it's not a perfectly... You can have an esrog that's not perfectly clean, but you yoitza, that's hidder mitzvah. So he'll say the same thing with the arla. I have an aver. And most of it, the parts that need to get gone are gone. So it's an arla-less aver, but it's not perfectly clean. It's like, think of it like an esrog. And that's with a little black spot. Well, it's not ma'akiv, but it's not hither. That's how he looks at the Arla of the meal.
He's not talking about Shabbos, though.
No, not Shabbos. No, this is a weekday.
But the whole thing is Gemara, the Osei B'mitzvah, it's hard to...
So let's see, how's he going to work this out? But again, this is his chiddush. His chiddush is that the mitzvah is not like the Beis Halevi says. It's to be gemalt. His mitzvah is to clean up the arla. That's his geder. It's to clean up that area.
It's a nice far, but does he base it on anything?
No.
That's
he understood the mitzvah. The mitzvah is hasaras ha'arla. It's the removal of the arla. And therefore, until you remove the arla in a way where it's a clean arla, clean aver, he still is. So he writes... Very geschmack. So the fiza is shaykh to do hidden mitzvah. Not like the Biskarov wanted to suggest that you can do hidden mitzvah after the mitzvah is over. Not like the Beis Halevi wanted to suggest that you still involve the mitzvah because the mitzvah is to be gemalt. No, a third possibility from Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer. That the pshat is what? The pshat is that you're still, the mitzvah is gufa to have a clean cut of the arla. So therefore, I'm still in that process. I'm still not done yet because I still have some strands that need to be fixed.
V'teimari mo'oid. The reason then you wouldn't go back on Shabbos is because hidden mitzvah is not...
That's right, because hidden mitzvah doesn't... But that's true in all the Rishonim. You don't go back with them.
But he's saying it's not
hidden. It is. He's saying the mitzvah. No. The mitzvah is to have a clean arla. That's the starting point. So now, what does it mean to be a clean arla? So there's rules that make it halachically clean. Again, think about it just like an esrog. You have to have a nice esrog. Now, something's pasul in esrog, something's not pasul in esrog. So when you go to the store to buy the esrog, so there's a little blot on the bottom. The guy says, it's not ma'akiv. But it's hidr. So same thing also. The mitzvah is to have a clean arla. And there's rules. Tzitzit ha-ma'akfin is not clean, not yoitz. Tzitzit she'ena-ma'akfin, that's called clean, but it's not called hidder.
So what he says,
so you're going back for the hidder.
What he say later on sukkahs, later in the day, you pick up
what? Good. That's going to hit it right now. So what does he do with the Beis Halevi sukkah analogy, or lulav analogy? So he writes, v'teimani mo'id. Shehevi is a dogma. I take issue with the Beis Halevi. Mashin is stopping with me. She not the lulav kosher. Achkach mizdam lulav yosin noah. Im yesh lulav chiv little hanor. The machas shekva yot dechavase mitzvah. Dechavase mitzvah. Im kemayis noah zeble mitzvah. Ulefi ani is daiti b'chiyagav near bevadai the ain tzarich little shenis. He says 100% right. I agree with the Beis Halevi. In the lulav case, don't take it again. He writes. I am b'shas drush for ziyankiv ulam be'emes loy domi klal. But that has nothing to do with our gemara. Says the Beis Halevi, that gemara with the lulav and the sukkah, no comparison. Why? The hasam emashen nito shenis halulav hanor ain't a moisiv hider lahamitzvah rishena shiatzeba. What did that do for the first mitzvah? The second lulav had nothing to do with the first lulav. Beli hider v'hinei going to stop begim yeshal of chiy little shenis and the efsher da'avim yitzel lahachmi v'little shenis ain't a masakin klum b'zeh. You're getting absolutely nothing done. Darei kvar yotz deichov es mitzvah beli hider ukshenat al pam shenis hayoyse noah arei ato ain't a yotz deichov asoy. It's too late. The guy Melissa, was also known as the Nesivis. The Nesivis, the mission was a Rav in Lisa until they fired him. They fired him because he got divorced. Right? Strange reason to get fired. The Nesivis, I mean, the great Nesivis. We all know the Nesivis. Every yeshiva learns the Ketais in Nesivis. The Nesivis was the Rav in Lisa, and they got divorced and they fired him because of that. Okay, and then he became a Baal, but he got a regular job. The real story goes, after he got a job, so he was in the working world, and he had a machloikis with someone about choyshe mishpat, about something that came up in business. And he paskined one way. He said, this is the halacha. And the other guy said, no, you're wrong. And the nesivah said to himself, I'm the nesivah of mishpat. You know, I know a thing or two about choyshe mishpat, right? And they said, let's go to the rabbi of the town. He went to the rabbi of the town. The rabbi said, it's an amazing shayla. There's this new sefer that came out called nesivah of mishpat. And that sefer says exactly the opposite of what the nesivah paskined. So he said, what do you see from the story? The kayach of negias. Ad heichin dvar magi, and the Nesivis accidentally got it wrong, even though he wrote in the sefer the other way. But because he was now the Geber David, now he's working. It was his money versus this guy's money. He got the Pesach. That's an amazing story about the Nesivus HaMishpat. But in any case,
that's
the Nesivus,
that's
a Gevaldika story.
That's
okay.
A story you shouldn't tell over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you're looking for stories that you shouldn't tell over, that's
what. Can't be careful what you say it over, too. That's a good point. Okay. But the Nesivus, we say over in the Nesivus wrote, has a comment of Chumash, a famous Haggadah, a lot of people like his Haggadah. But everyone knows the Nesivus. So he was the Goyin from Lisa. So he writes over here, the Sefer Shiva Inayim, La Goyin, Shlom Kugur, he talks about it, that im yigarish metchila beget, let's say you give a get to a lady, and it's kosher, b'diyavid. So shuv ain't takonish yigarish shenis beget acher. You can't give her another get. It's over. She's divorced. And you give a lady a get, which is kosher, b'diyavid. And you say, you know, I want to do, you know, so it's the one mitzvah I want to make sure I get done right, you know, so I'm going to do it again. Well, you do it again, it's over. She's divorced. You can't give a get to a non-married woman. It's over.
How would there be your mitzvah by get?
No, because you want to do, you want a lechatchila get. You gave a get that the Mishnah says only kosher b'di'evit, but you have a from a guy, and you want to do mitzvah as ketikunas. So I don't want to just do a b'di'evit get, I want to do a lechatchila get. It's ridiculous. It's over, finished. So here also says the base, says the pre-yitzchak, same thing also. When you did a mitzvah and the mitzvah is over, you can't redo the mitzvah. Oh, so 1 second. So how do you explain tzitz shein makven es amilo? Says Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, says the pre-yitzchak, but the evit, kosher, v'yish l'ach mitvar, v'ak oponim, v'en ka mekoyim v'ak oponim, niru k'moish k'safti, d'en tzorech litol shenis, v'be'emes l'nichiv v'vada d'en mechoyiv litol shenis, right, good. Now, but v'ak oponim, skip a little bit. L'nidon didon loidomi klal. It's no shaykhis to our Gemara. The Beis Halevi assumed that our Gemara is like redoing a lulav, redoing a divorce. Says the Pi Yitzchak, I don't think so. Why? But Mashiach Hashem is lo yoyisuf kalay the mitzvah shenu. But Avol Gabe Milach Hare im yichta chatzitz and achakach Hare hu mashlim hu moisiv hid the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah over here is what, to have a clean orla. I'm making it a cleaner orla by taking away another string and another string. It's even smoother. It's even clearer. It's even less stuff there. That's taka hidr ha mitzvah harishayna. Mashenki by the lulav, taking a second lulav does nothing for the first lulav. Therefore, says the priest, I taka agree with the Beis Halevi, but I disagree with the Beis Halevi. I agree with him in principle that you can't redo a mitzvah, but I hold that here I'm still in the mitzvah because the mitzvah is a clean cut or law, and that I can still improve as long as I continue going.
It'd be analogous if somehow you could fix up the lulav.
That's right. Somehow I could take the rit while I'm shaking it or something. I could bring something into it to make it more mohadim.
The point that Neir's Chanukah also is a result oriented mitzvah, right? To pursue an Issa, so I only has to sell
his clothes. Or anyone
have to
sell his clothes
if
the
focus on the Maisa. So according to that, even if
the
Rambam
should allow everyone else to do it, then
if
the focus on the result.
That doesn't
have to do with him. That doesn't have to do with
the result. Well, no. The result might be true, but the mitzvah, the Maisa mitzvah, is still the Maisa Adlaka. The Maisa Adlaka at the end of the day is still the Maisa Adlaka. You're right, the Tetzor is going to be the Pursu Minis. Okay, so the Beis Halevi continues on. Another Shtickle Beis Halevi. Okay. And Beis Halevi has a Kasha from a Gemara in Yevamis. That's why we got into Yevamis from Reb David Bavarsky. The Gemara says in Yevamis, Frekta Beis Halevi like this. Number 10. Hine shemati makshim b'shem goyin echad ala tor. I heard that they ask a kasha on the Torah. What did the Torah hold? The Torah held that b'choil, you go back, whether it's ma'akvim, whether it's not ma'akvim, you always go back. To which the Beis Halevi understands that to mean, because it's a mitzvah m'shechas, you always oisik, you always go back. What's the kasha? Because it says gabi ger, you have a ger, kibol, molin oisim miyad. You get your malam right away. Let's say you left by the ger those strands that are ma'ak of the milo. You gotta give him another milo. Nisrape, he gets better. Matfila nois miyat right away. After he feels better, you give him a tefila. Vare biger. So, frekti beis alevi, 1 second. A ger, the only time you do milas ger is b'choil. Milas ger is not toich shabbos. So, this gemara behechrech is choil. Vare biger, al korcha chavi amila b'choil, the milas ger ain't toich shabbos. And what did it say in the Brisa? You go back for what? Sits in Hama'akvin. So what's the diak in the Gemara? You only go back because there are those that are ma'akiv. For the tzitzit shein ma'akvin, you wouldn't go back. But it's chol. The Torah told me that on chol you do go back. The diak is from the Gemara. If you have the strands that are not ma'akiv, ain't a chosen. Umolin. That's kishmak according to Rambam. The gamachol enter lachzer. The kosh ala Torah. Kvaldik akasha. The Gemara says that by a ger, you only go back for what? For the ma'akvin. And we know it has to be chol because a ger is never allowed to be gemalt on Shabbos. So you see from the Gemara that b'chol you only go back. So this might even be a riot to the Rambam. This may be where the Rambam got it from.
But because of Yitzchak, maybe it works because maybe meal by a cousin Jew is different than meal
good.
By a ger.
Good. That's from Dovah Bavarsky's Teretz.
Good. It's on a mice.
Good. That's from Dovah Bavarsky's Teretz. We'll get to that in a second. That's from Dovah Bavarsky wants to answer this. Basically, he doesn't say that, interestingly enough. But that's Reb Dovah Bavarsky's text, number 11. We'll see, hopefully, in a few minutes. So what does the Beis Halevi answer to this kasha? The Shtaka kasha. So the Beis Halevi says, no, I have a different pshat. V'al korchach nir desfilu ator deshani shom dektoni molen oisim miyad v'esparash b'gemara shehi a mitzvah le'mashin. By a ger, we want to keep things moving. He's got a whole process to go. We don't want to stop the clock. So he says, therefore, what's going to happen? You're going to take off time to go back for tzitzishin makv, and it slows down the whole process. So he writes...
What do you mean? You're talking about after
Shas Maisa? Yeah, right. After it's over. Because you have to wait, he has to first get better. He has to heal. I guess for the baby, he doesn't need to heal. The adult, he has to heal. So everything's going to be pushed back now. Because you're going to go back for the Tzitzit Shemak, but apparently that will take more time.
Oh, it's not minutes, it's
going to
be days.
Right, it's going to take, right, that's what he says. So he says, It's going to delay everything.
You're stopping him from becoming a full
flesh. That's right.
You always go back after he becomes a Jew. Now go back next week.
Oh, that's already a big question. Would that be any purpose of going back after that? Maybe.
It's the mitzvah.
So people, I think people, does he talk about it? Someone talks about this.
If the mitzvah is to have to clean the oil, why not?
Someone talks about the shah. Would you go back later? Someone discusses this. So what he says, v'nimtza yeshia mitzvah al tefillah, v'tei otter, shlo nishtah al tefillah. U'mushamach, yinu chayz, rak al tzitzit ha-makfin. Rak imkein dochuk, he writes, rak imkein dochuk, delator achat tefillah yitzarech lachzim. Yes, your kasha. He said, Lafi my pshat, the whole reason why you're doing this is because you don't want to waste time. So good. So after the whole procedure, go back. Basically, if you address it. So that's the teretz to the Beis Halevi's kasha. So again, so what's the Beis Halevi's answer? Beis Halevi's answer is that a ger ain't a chanami. In theory, the Torah would say the ger we should go back, but because it's going to affect other dinim, it's going to set everything back. It's going to delay the process. Shehi a mitzvah machine. Says Reb Dovah Bavarsky number 11. Now I got a much simpler teretz. He says, go back to what we said in the Beis Halevi earlier about if the mitzvah is the cutting or the mitzvah is to be gemalt. Vimke and the fiza nimtza the bemilas ger the hager ain't all of klal chiv mila. Vavi rak din shal maisa mila. Says Reb Dovah Bavarsky, when it comes to the ger, he doesn't have a mitzvah to be gemalt. He has a mitzvah to cut.
He has no mitzvah.
He has nothing. Right. I would argue he has nothing. I would argue that maybe it's b'chalai. Okay, this is really more Yivamis Torah. What exactly is the gedder of Milas Ger? Is it even a mitzvah or is it just a tanai to be able to join B'nai Yisrael? It might not be either. Again, that's a big sugya.
Once it's there, it's like coming together.
What happens b'achas? Right. So at least the way Dov Varsky says it, so therefore he says geshmak. If the whole mitzvah is just a cut, and Beis Halevi told us when the whole mitzvah is just a cut, you never go back, so that's why you don't go back here also. By a regular Jew, we tell me the mitzvah is to be gemak. He doesn't have that mitzvah. Even though once you cut him, now he becomes a yid. Now he does have it. Okay, not sure how that works, but that's his teretz. The Beis Halevi. Oh wow. Okay, I thought we had more time. Okay, we'll see. Belinda, the next week, the Beis Halevi has another way of being mazbe the machlokes Rishonim, and then we'll get into a third pshat, and then we'll go back to the Rishonim to see if any of the pshatim fit.